Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all the crap we love to talk about on Yule Bravs. I'm Ronnie and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Everybody, welcome to the show today. Happy Valentine's Day. We sure love you. What a special Valentine's Day to watch Shep just get shit all over on Southern Charm.
What a great point. Happy Valentine's Day. It's ghosting glorious. Episode.
It is glorious. A karma episode for a terrible guy on Southern Charm. Ooh, happy Valentine's Day. Hugs, everybody. Self-hug. Everybody, welcome to the show. Today is your last day to stream the Golden Crappies. The audio will be posted over the weekend so you guys can listen to it. It's amazing. Ben makes his singing debut on Broadway.
Yeah,
it's so good. So go check it out. And all the guests are fabulous and all that good stuff. Also, what else do I have to say? We're still on tour. We start again in March. So get your tickets for all those cities. The first one's going to be Cincinnati, which we're super excited by. I believe that's the first one, right, Ben?
Yeah, that's our first one back after our little mini break here. I'm excited to go get some more of that Cincinnati chili skyline. That was fun when we did that last time.
That was fun. So we're going to be in Cincinnati, and guess where we're going to go after that? Can you tell I'm pulling up a list because I didn't have it up? After that, we're going to be going to Minneapolis, Toronto, Charlotte, Atlanta, Washington, Philadelphia, and that's all just in March. So if those are your cities, go get your tickets. If you want your city and you didn't hear it, go check on watchwhatcrappens.com. It's probably there along with the ticket link to go get a ticket. Okay. So we're super excited to be back on the road. Also, if you want videos of our recaps, you find those on Patreon. And that's also where you find Traders Recaps, which come out usually Tuesdays. So that's that. If you want free videos, you can wait for a week. You know, if you don't need them brand new, you can wait for a week and they're on YouTube for free. It's our Watch What Crappens YouTube, everybody. Wow. Okay. Shall we get into it, Ben?
Oh my God. Let's get right into it.
Okay.
Previously on Southern Charm, Vanita was moping over some little bridge troll while Shep is getting mixed messages from Sienna.
Listen, these are not mixed messages. The messages are, stop fucking calling me, you creep. I only flirted with you to get a picture with you for my grandmother. Now leave me the fuck alone, you weirdo. You smell Shep and you have your hair.
Shep could only wish he was getting mixed messages. It turns out he's not getting any messages at all. That's the problem, okay? Read the writing that's not even on the wall. Just move on.
Yeah.
So then, just when Austin decided it was time to play hard to get,
and then we see Austin and Madison out for lunch.
It was clear that Craig and Paige weren't even on the same. Well, Paige, get it?
Been waiting many years to use that pun on the show. They're like, finally, finally using the page pun with the page scene.
Page pun.
Then we just see Paige miserable around goats and bees.
And when they all got together for Pat's annual guys' dinner,
hey, I'm just here to excuse terrible men. Ding, ding, ding.
Craig was feeling the heat.
And then we see everybody giving Craig shit for not settling down with Paige, which the hypocrisy still stings a week later from these guys. Whitney, Shep, and Austin all giving someone shit about committing.
Yes. I mean, look, it's
a girl. You know,
it's just the way, it's their thing. So, Now it's time to start this is actually a shocking way to start the episode, because first we go to Sally's, where she's skateboarding, but like her dog is like trying to run along with her and like get on the skateboard. So it's like, it's cute. And then we go,
it's not cute. What the fuck is that woman doing? And where are social services? Get the hell over there. Listen, I like Sally. Okay. Okay. And I wouldn't take her child away after the blowjob in the car thing. In fact, I'd give her more kids, you know?
Yeah.
But having your child run, run where there's a skateboard, and then she's like, what are you doing, boo? Save that dog. Save that dog from that crazy woman.
Yeah, that dog did almost get run over in the process, but I was just like, oh, okay, it's a skateboard and a dog. Usually those concepts are lead to cuteness. So then we go to Taylor's house. You know, there's so many videos of dogs and skateboards. You just I'm like,
how many dead dogs led to those videos? Because practice makes perfect, right?
So then we go to Taylor's house, and she's feeding Penny a chicken nugget from Bojangles. And Taylor's like, I don't feel like making my bed. And then, really, you know, her personality just continues to develop. And
I think that was her casting video. They were like, hey, we need someone with a lot of charisma. And Taylor's just like, I would do my laundry today, but I just don't want to. And they're like, perfect. You're perfect for this show.
Put it right on there. And then we go to Shep's house, and he is getting out of bed, and he's in his underwear, and little Craig is there. And so the reason why this is so shocking to me is that we have a people doing things with their dogs opening, and who was not there? It was Vanita and Charles. I was like, Vanita and Charles kind of pioneered this genre of opening scene, and I don't know how they're not included in it.
It's because I don't know how Charles has become a diva now, because Charles is like, oh, really? You want me to do an opening scene? Have the other dogs do it. Unless you pay me when I'm ready to be paid, you can suck a dick, all of you. That's what I said. Tell Haymaker. It came from Charles. Charles has made a whole career out of this. He's like, see if those other dogs can replace me. Oh, what, the one running under the skateboard? Dead.
Some of us run to cars, not skateboards.
Find a milk truck to chase, newbie.
So then we go to Human Craig's house, and he's got all sorts of stuff on the counter, and he puts on a cowboy hat, and then he sits down to FaceTime Paige, and she's like, what are you wearing? Have you been doing ayahuasca? Please take that off in my presence. Okay, you know what, Craig? I'm just going to break up with you. I was blindsided.
I told you I can't date anyone in a white cable knit sweater and a stupid felt hat. We're breaking up. So you will marry me.
So then his phone rings and Madison it calls. And so he sort of puts them all together onto FaceTime to have a group chat, because they're going to like be, you know, because Madison, I think Madison is one of the few people that Paige likes. So Craig is like, so I think the whole group is going to the Bahamas. And Madison's like, I know, I feel bad because we still don't know what's going on with Brett, you know, because he's got that, you know, he's got the throat thing or whatever, or the liver thing. So we see flashbacks of him and dealing with cancer and everything and trying to figure it out. And so she's basically saying that she's going to go on this trip. Because he's going to be in California and Hudson's going to be out of town. So what's the point of staying home and worrying?
And even if he was here, it's not like he's telling me shit anyway.
And Craig's like, well, I mean, if he's going to California anyway, it's better to be in the Bahamas than just like sitting around Charleston.
Well, is it? Is it though? I mean, in the Bahamas, I have to see Shirt and Austin shirtless. So I'm not really sure which is more traumatizing.
I know. That's honestly, it's a little bit of a draw, if you ask me.
Which is more of a boner killer? Shep shirtless or waiting for cancer tests?
I'm going to stay in Charleston. So she's just going to, and then she makes a comment. They're just sort of bantering, and then she goes, well, listen, you know what? I'm just going to celebrate every day that I'm not pregnant, so YOLO. And then Paige goes, you and me too, sister. God, pregnancy, the worst. And of course, now Madison is pregnant. But
so Paige is not going to the Bahamas. She's like, oh, sorry. I have two photo shoots next week that I can't reschedule. One is me shooting myself on a stoop in jeans. And the other is me shooting myself at a bar, not giving a fuck that all you losers are. How is your show still on? Can anybody?
I booked a really important session with myself and my iPhone in my bed. So have fun in the Bahamas.
I was going to make an effort to be on this show until I heard you had to sit through a 3-hour tuba concert.
And not even a full size tuba. Like, that's gross.
I don't want to go there so bad I burned my passport. Paige, you don't need a passport to come to Charleston. Well, just in case.
So Craig's like, well, I'm excited to meet Sienna, but like, poor Shep, he was kind of like spinning out a little bit at dinner. And then we have a flashback to Austin asking Shep if they talk every day. And Shep is like, gosh, we haven't seen each other in a month and a half. As his like feet are like rattling beneath the table. Yeah. And Craig's like, you shouldn't have to force someone into liking you if the person likes you.
Stop the car. Now let's listen to what we just said to ourselves. Okay, keep driving.
Please. if the person likes you, they'll make time for you and they'll definitely want to be pregnant.
Stop the car. The girl that you like just refused to make time for you. Okay, just let that sink in. Okay, keep driving.
It's an insecurity that I've dealt with because Paige is so busy and, you know, her career is like one of her biggest priorities. And I had to learn how to exist in that world by refusing to move up there and existing in her world.
Well, the rumors are, and, you know, who knows, because we have to watch both of these damn shows play out now. It's like the saddest Marvel universe I've ever seen. I'm like, oh, my God, this is like having to watch that doctor. Not Magneto. What's the one who's like a magician? The one that Sherlock plays. Benedict Cumberbatch. It's like having to sit through that one to understand the next movie.
Dr. Wonderful? Strange?
Dr. Strange, yeah. The first one was good, but the second one, I have to sit through this just to understand the other one? Come on, man.
Dr. Wonderful's like, why don't I get a superhero movie? I'm literally Dr. Wonderful. They're like, no, we can give it to Dr. Strange.
I'm Dr. Wonderful. Something
about him.
Gersh. Sienna, I'm Dr. Wonderful. Why don't you call me back? Gersh. I don't have a job and I get money in a mailbox. Dr. Wonderful. Sorry, I cheated.
I'm writing a prescription for 3 hugs. As long as you return my text, Dr. Wonderful.
So Paige is telling them, she's not really texting it back much. I guess that's a shitty feeling. And Paige is like, well, obviously she doesn't like him. Which is the impression I've been trying to give you. Yeah, she's just not that into you. That's just the deal. Okay. Now I think this is all a fantasy in Chip's mind. I mean, they're 20 years apart. I don't think he's in love with the idea of love. I think he's in love with the way she looks. I mean, she's stunning. I get it.
Yeah, I think Shep is in love with her like old dudes are in love with, you know, really expensive Lambos or whatever. You know how when you see a Lambo, you never see a hot guy riding one? Because by the time you can
never
afford to get one, you're all like crinkly and sunburnt. I think that's Sienna to Shep. He's just like, this is that last grasp to prove his penis still works. And it's just not working. Sorry, you're going to have to do other things now to prove your worth, sir, than get hot girls to show your friends.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a hot guy emerge from a Lambo or a Ferrari or any like fancy car. I think like you're hot, like the greatest chance you have of seeing a hot guy emerge from a car is to keep an eye out on like a Toyota Corolla. Let's be honest. That's going to be a hot guy vehicle because he's spending all his money.
If you want a hot guy coming out of a hot car, you got to get old and crinkly and rich enough to get a hot car and then kidnap a hot guy and then let him out at some point.
Very Cyrano. Yeah. I like hot guys, like they just spend all their money on the gym. So they just don't have money for like.
We all know the hottest guys are on the bus. Okay.
There. We said it. So Paige is like, I can't believe that Sienna is kind of like ghosting Shep, but like also still hosting. I'm just like confused by it. But at the same time, I love the passive aggression that she's doing. So I kind of like her. And Madison's like, I mean, I feel like we're going to go sit there. I feel like we can go sit there and watch Shep get dumped.
Should I send invitations? I mean, this actually sounds like the best episode of the year to me.
This is really moving the needle for me to get out of Charleston.
But they were saying I love you and stuff. And Paige is like, okay, well, this has been fascinating, but I really have to get ready to my flight to nowhere. So am I allowed to leave now?
Hold on. Group one is boarding from my bedroom to my kitchen. So I'll text you when I land tomorrow.
I'd just like to say goodbye to boarding group C. Goodbye, boarding group C.
Because, you know, Paige, even in her fictional flights, is flying at, you know, top tier boarding class.
I put her on Southwest.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
Yeah, because that's where you get boarding group C. The other ones are by numbers.
Yeah.
Boarding group C is for the lazy people who don't.
Well, because Craig booked my ticket.
Because, you know, you have to, like, call staff. Well, you can pay for an early bird ticket now where they give you a slot that you can stand in line. But if you don't do that, then you have to call first. You have to be the first to check in. And, you know, that's how they do it. So if you're, like, the last one to check in, you're in group C, which sucks. You always have to sit in the middle. So whenever the last people come on the plane in Southwest, you just look at them like, oh, you lazy, unprepared fool. Enjoy it back there in the middle of the homeliest people in town.
At least for the next 6 months, because then they're going to start closing down open seating, which is a real sad, sad, sad state of affairs. We can't have those power plays anymore.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm going to miss that.
Yeah.
Now you'll just have to judge everybody. You'll have to judge every group as they come in. You can't just wait for group C. It's going to take all your judgment concentration.
I really, with Southwest, I really get off on the micro power plays. Like, you know, like you gotta, you know, there's like the section that says, oh, B25 to B30, and then you're B27, and there's like someone standing like at the front of the five-person section. And you're like, excuse me, which one are you? Or you know, or the best is when you have like B25, so you know you're the front of the section of your little five-person section. Yeah. And there's always like a lady there who's like harried. And then you say, oh, excuse me, what seat are you? As if you don't know that you are entitled to be the first one in the five-person section. And she goes, oh, I'm B31. Oh, you know what? I'm B25. I actually stand here. So, okay.
I actually reverse power play that because I know that people are like that. And I hate the people who move themselves up to the front of the line. So if I get the front of the line naturally, I stand at the very end of the flag. And then people have to come up to me and go, what number are you? And then they're like, oh, you're in front of us. So then I move up a little bit. And then people keep moving me up in front until I'm right by that person.
That is because you're making them do all the work for it, which is, as for me, I really... Well, and my method is high risk because, you know, if you're not like number 25, then when you go up to someone and say, excuse me, what number are you? Because I'm B27. They go, I'm B26. I go, okay, great. I'll just stand right behind you.
You immediately bow to them. You're like, okay.
I'm like, I'm so you know sorry. What? I tried
Did
it.
I look you in the eye? It wasn't intended.
Can I get you a beverage? Anything you need. You're higher than me. Whatever you need. Go ahead.
No, the person who's naturally like the 25 or whatever is even if I'm 25 and they're 26, they're never going to move. Even if everybody in the line is like, you're before me, you're 25, you're before me, you're 25, you're before me, you're 25. 26 has heard all of that. So they know that my ass is 25 when I'm standing right behind them. But they also know the rest of the line knows. And so we just all stand there and stare at them like that inconsiderate fuck, you know, and it just feels so good.
But you know what I hate? I hate when it's like if you're B25 to B30, you're in that little section, and then B31 tries to sneak in. I'm like, no,
B31.
You're in the next tier down.
Yeah, you're like in a different neighborhood, fool. Get out.
Yeah, okay, and they always try it. Always.
So Madison's like, well, don't worry, Shep will be all right. And Craig's like, well, I mean, I'm a lawyer. Okay, stop the car. Let's just all LOL for a minute. Okay.
All right. Craig is a lawyer. He's a lawyer now.
I could technically write up the visa paperwork for her, like a K-1, which just means if Shep proposes, she would get a temporary visa.
That's so what a K-1 is? I don't know, but like all I know is that when Sienna gets detained by border control, she will then have to, they'll have to say, who wrote this K-1 for you? A guy who runs a pillow company.
Can I just say that the reason we know what K-1 is, Schedule K-1 is an IRS form used by partnerships, S corporations, and estates and trusts to declare income and deductions.
Just write up.
So
write
I guess
the K-1 for her.
I guess he's going to say they're in a partnership, so she would get a temporary visa. I don't know that that's the same thing. I think he could do that even if Shep didn't propose. If you're just going to pretend she owns part of the pillow factory or whatever.
He's just referencing the latest form that Jerry told him about. He was like, hey, Shep, I mean, hey, Craig, can you get me a K-1? I mean, as a lawyer, I could like write her like a K-1 and a W-9 and a W-42 and a K-9 and a B-25, B-30, Special K.
The cereal, not the drug. So lawyers will be emailing us. So lawyers, when you're emailing us, I am calling Craig a moron, and I'm going to stand by that for a while because I don't think that means what he thinks it means. Now, I'm sure it probably means something different because every time I make a declaration like that, I'm proven an idiot, which isn't a surprise to me. I know I'm an idiot, but also I learn things. So email on, people.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. You know how everyone's all about new year, new me? Well, on Baby, This is Keke Palmer, we're taking it to a whole other level. We're talking new year, new perspectives. And honey, it's going to change your life. I sat down with astrology queen, Chani Nicholas. Y'all, if you want to understand yourself better this year, this episode is it. And then there's my chat with the incredible Da Vinci, where nothing was off the table. If you're looking to level up your mindset this year, his words are definitely going to hit different. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. Catch it on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And for the full experience, head to my YouTube channel. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app. Let's make this year our best one yet, baby.
UFO lands in Suffolk, and that's official, said the News of the World. But what really happened across two nights in December 1980 when US servicemen saw mysterious lights in the forest near RAF Woodbridge and claimed to have had a close encounter with an actual craft?
Encounters, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, takes a deep dive into one of the most famous and still unresolved UFO encounters to ever take place in the UK, featuring shocking testimony from first-hand witnesses, hosts, journalist, podcaster and UFO researcher Andy McGrillan, that's me, and producer Elle Scott, take us back to the nights in question and examine all of the evidence and conflicting theories about what was encountered in the middle of a snowy Suffolk forest 40 years ago.
Are we alone? Encounters is a podcast which is going to find out. Listen to Encounters exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or in Apple Podcasts.
So Madison's like, well, I think that temporary visa would be the worst thing to do. He cannot marry a girl that's ghosting him, okay? This is the South. You marry someone, you kill them, then they ghost you, okay?
Yes. So Shep goes to Kenny Flowers' flagship and cabana club, which is, because it's Charleston, a place where you buy clothes. And the clothes sound about as good as that title. So he's like, gosh, I'm going to the Bahamas, but I want to look cool. That's why I came to Kenny Flowers' flagship and cabana club.
Well, where girl, I'm not some... a mirror. Sorry, man.
Where can I get some florals?
Where can I get florals? I just want to look cool. I'm not a miracle worker, sir. Okay.
Okay, well, I'm going to let that pass. So show me the most floral thing you've got. Gosh.
Well, here's something with drinks and cocktails on it. Well, drinks can taste floral. I'll take it. Matching shorts, too.
Hey, listen, it's me. I'm sure I'll be wearing a drink no matter what I wear. So
Molly shows up and she's also going to buy some. She's going to help him buy clothes, but she's also going to look for a bikini. And he's like, gosh, I love shopping with girls. And then we see a flashback to shopping with Cameron back in 2013. I can't believe the show's been on that long. She's like, no, Shep, that looks bad, Shep. That looks good, Shep. That looks bad. Come on, Shep. You look stupid, Shep. Come on, Shep.
Molly needs to drop her insecure bullshit. I'm so sick of it. Molly is one of the most gorgeous people. She plays a tuba. She's got a great personality. She's funny. And she, every time you see her, she's like, I'm fat. How are you doing? Feeling fat. Okay, well, where do we go from there? You know, you're not fat. Okay, stop it, Molly. Stop it. I'm going to pull up in my auntie van and shove you in there and drive you around in circles telling you you're not fat until I say, how are you? And you're like, not fat. That's what I want to hear. Right?
Get out of my van. Yeah. So Shep is just saying that he's like trying to buy something that a girl would find attractive. It stands to reason. Yes. So of course that's why you're here at Mr. Furley's boat shop, whatever this thing is called.
Selly Flowers Boat and Buckle. And so he's like, wow, guess what? I got a gift for Sienna because my friend makes sharks. Well, he doesn't make sharks, but he finds sharks and he kills them. And then he steals her teeth. And then he makes necklaces. Girls love that. Girls do not love that. No one wants a shark tooth necklace, okay? Find a five-year-old to give that shit to, you fucking nutcase. And then we see that not only does he think girls like this, he gave one to Taylor.
Oh. Yeah, this is... Don't give... Okay, the shark tooth thing is really, like, that is such a bad, like, oh God, how did this guy get an entire show called Relationship Shep if he's handing out shark tooth necklaces? It's just mortifying. But the fact that it's a recycled gesture is really the worst part of all. Like, oh God, I'm mortified, and I'm also mortified that, like, Molly is not steering him in the right direction, because he's like, gosh, is that douchery? And she goes, what? No, why is that douchey? It's a gift.
Oh, God. So we're the blankets shark with tooth. Smallpox on him. Give me a break. Relationship. The show where, like, 90% of the contestants evicted themselves. I mean, more people stay on Survivor than the show.
Fucking relationship. Oh, gosh, I don't know how to act all of a sudden. I feel so helpless. I'm a little boy. She goes, well, it's weird when, like, the vibes change and you're like, oh God, what do I do now? Kind of like me standing here in a bikini in front of you and you haven't even seemed to notice. He goes, I know. I'm cool. I swear I'm going to have fun no matter what. That's my mantra. Fun no matter what.
We know. That's why you are nowhere. And she's like, yeah, I guess we're going to have fun. Let's go to JT's apartment. So he's lighting candles and looks like he's getting something romantic to happen. And I'm like, oh my God, please tell me he's not already bringing his Instagram lover on the television. But no, it's Vanita because she's a sucker. Yeah. Vanita, Jesus Christ. You put Charles out to pasture for this? Shame on you. Get some self-respect.
Well, you know, the bond between Vanita and I is a beautiful thing. And, like, Timon could be a mean motherfucker, I guess, especially if you never really had any intention to date her in the first place. So he's basically like, but we do have this great friendship, and now we know there's a line we won't cross, and that's kind of how it works.
Oh, jeez. Fucking Chime can be a mean motherfucker. We know. We can see your plugs. Okay. So she comes in and she's like, well, JT is my best friend. So, you know, I have a girlfriend. Okay. I guess I'll support it. But it also means being flirty and cutesy with you is done. Hi, JT. Here's a branzino and a kiss.
I know. So he's like, well, I actually feel really good because Shep invited me to the Bahamas, you know, and we see a flashback to that. And he goes, I generally liked Madison and I liked our friendship and I want that friendship back. It matters to me. But, you know, like, I think that she's gotten a version of the truth that's been skewed. And yeah, I want to work on that. No, she's not going back. It's not happening anytime soon.
So she's excited that he's going to be going, and he's like, me too. I mean, maybe I'll fly down the next day. I got some meetings, I think, you know, Airbnb stuff. I don't know. Meet with people. Maybe they'll take the Airbnb, sell the Airbnb. I don't know. Bunny's going to call about a couch soon. So huge meetings. Who are you fooling? You don't have any meetings. You're scared. No meetings. I don't blame you.
Yeah. And also, I think that, like, part of it is that production's holding them back. And it's like, okay, you guys join the next day.
They're going to be a big surprise.
And we want everyone to get mad about you the night before. Yeah. So so he's talking about the suits he's going to bring. And he talks about bringing his birthday suit. And she's like, no, not an option. And then they talk about how all the sofas in the apartment are Bunny picked them out, which is real fun. And JT's just hoping, like, you know, if I'm there with Madison in the group, I think it'd be a great chance for, you know, to have a really chill way of conversing with her and hopefully building a bridge back. I'm like, based on both of you, I don't see any chill conversations happening. I think that ship has sailed many times over.
Well, I hope he tries it, though, because it'll be fun to watch Madison cut him down. You know, the first time I thought it was way too mean on Madison's part, but now he's done Vanita wrong. So I'd like to see a little chopping.
Do it.
So he's like, well, I mean, I think it'll be doable if Craig just maybe walks it back a little bit. And she's like, yeah, like maybe if he said it out of context. No, maybe you could say he lied. That's not going to happen. You're on the wrong show. Vanita, stop giving this man a chance. From this moment on, this is your fault, Vanita, because you are now bringing this to the table. Okay? Boo.
And Vanita says, no, you have to be the bigger person. You've got to be the bigger person, which unfortunately is a lifelong challenge for JT in many, many different ways. So Vanita's like, you know, your emotions do get the best of you, like they do for all of us. And like he's already said, that's a problem for him, and he doesn't like it and walks away when you do that. So don't give him the opportunity to keep on winning. Basically, she's like, stop trying to like get in his face. It's not going to work.
Oh my God, maybe I'll listen to you. We're like yin and yang. Which one are you? You're yin or you're yang? Am I yang? Are you yin? Which ones are those? That's so wacky. Yang's like this. And then yin's the peace, right? Okay. So yang needs some branzino. So there's the stove.
So now we're at a restaurant and Austin is there, not wearing his short sleeve navy polka dotted shirt, and Rodrigo shows up and they say hi and everything.
Rodrigo's
and
just like this. Rodrigo's like, he just heard a sound in the house at all times. He's always looking around like his eyes are just like wide open, like what?
He's always surprised when he's given a solo scene.
Yeah. He's like, so speaking of the Bahamas, you know, Shep was talking to me about stuff with Sienna recently. I was like, are you being followed? Why are you looking around the restaurant?
Yeah, he told me too. He literally looked like a sad fucking puppy dog. And he like looked like somebody had kicked him. It was insane how stupid he looked right there. And then
he looked like a puppy dog that got run over by a skateboard. Do you know there's an epidemic of that right now in Charleston? It's crazy.
Rodrigo's like, that's how it seemed. Like when he called me, I like was out to lunch with Taylor and like I could just hear it in a voice. Oh my God, this person's coming to our table. They're holding a little piece of paper. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, it's the waiter. It's a menu.
So we see this phone call where Taylor is hanging out with Rodrigo and he's like, oh, it's Shep calling. Should we hide? And she's like, no, answer it. Just say I'm not here. And so he puts Shep on speakerphone for Taylor to hear everything. That's pretty low, right? I mean, I know they're on reality TV, but that's a shit friend move.
Yeah, it is. I agree. That's like that's a classic move that happens on reality TV all the time, but that is a shit thing. And so Shep is talking about Sienna, and he's like, gosh, it's been sort of interesting. I mean, sort of dismaying. It's been a while since we've seen each other. And there's just like, I feel like, you know, I feel sort of helpless, honestly. And as accomplished as she is, she's still pretty inexperienced at times, you know? And I understood the context of that, basically saying, you know, she has done a lot in her life, but she's still 26. She's still like kind of immature, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then Taylor, this sets Taylor off because then she's like, I mean, how does he know? How could he diminish her accomplishments? I mean, just because he's not doing anything with his life. So now he's got to diminish what she's doing with her life. I mean, she's doing a lot. She's a beauty queen. She's doing things. She's like taking care of her grandma in the Bahamas. And how dare Shep? Shep is the worst. I hate Shep. It's like,
yes, Taylor, you've sold a lot of sodas with alcohol in them. Okay. No one is diminishing you, Taylor.
I'll be your projector. I'll be your projector.
Do not degrade her. Do not degrade her. She's a very accomplished, smart individual. Okay, relax, Taylor. Come on. Let's not let your damage show too much.
And Rodrigo's like, for me, it kind of felt like her taking her own feelings with Shep and then using Sienna as like a proxy for how she feels. And Austin goes, obviously, it doesn't take Freud to figure that one out, okay? God, fucking idiot. I thought gay people weren't supposed to be smart.
Stephen Freud. Original Dr. Wonderful. So they're basically like, okay, great. So then we go over to Taylor's house, by the way. And Taylor is trying to figure out how to use WhatsApp because her mom has an Android. So that's a struggle for her, and I get it.
I get it. I have to do that with my friend too. But I, when I started using WhatsApp, I thought she was calling Sienna, didn't you? Because that's usually what you use to talk to people in other countries. And I was like, ooh, yeah, I was going there. But she didn't. It's just her poor, disappointed mom who's traveling all over. Well, I don't know. I always think her mom's like on African safari. But I think it's just because how she dresses. Every time we see her, she's in like a big straw hat and like...
and a scarf.
Yeah.
She always has like a little scarf. She's like, okay, Taylor, I picked out a great scarf for our television phone call today. So they're talking and Taylor's talking about... Leslie asks like, so what's your strategy for coming for this coming week in the Bahamas? And she goes, Taylor's saying she's going to keep her distance from Shep and everything. And he seems really insecure in his relationship, etc.
Oh, and, really? And, is that why you're still talking about Shep with your mother? Get over it. I'm like, my God, you brought a new person on TV and you're still like this over Shep. She's like, yeah, well, Shep's real insecure. And then Shep doesn't know nothing about relationships. And like, he's insecure in his life. And like, I don't know. He broke my heart and he's not the greatest boyfriend to me. And, you know, that's why I didn't want to go. But I do want to hang out with the girls. But there's been a lot of girl drama, but it's all because of Shep, and Shep's mean. And her mom's just like, oh, honey, God. So Gaston's not really doing it for you. Shocker. Shocker.
Yeah. And then what we see, on the heels of her saying there's girl drama, we see Taylor, you know, going after Sally and everything. But then we come back to the present, and then Taylor says, but we actually had like a really fun girls' night, and there was really good energy, and like I think I'm really excited to hang out with them. And we see flashbacks to the night before. All the girls got together. They had a fun time. Taylor and Sally like buried the hatchet. Everything was good. Taylor got drunk. She was dancing up on a wall. And I kind of felt like this was sort of shitty of the producers because... Taylor, she is personality challenged, and it looked like she actually had a scene where like her personality kind of like flowered a bit and was having fun and was being silly, and they relegated it to like a quick clip. And then, and in fact, the truth is we watch all these scenes of the guys together, and we know this is a show about the guys, but like I think we were owed like a scene of the girls all being together. So I think this was shitty. I think we should have seen the scene.
I agree, because they've replayed the same thing of the guys over and over. Like Austin is hurt because Craig doesn't want to hang out. I mean, it's been an entire season of that. Show the girls. Like show them making out. Not making out. Making up. Show them making out. Show them making up. I mean, they fired. Like they had that big girl power season, and then all those girls have since been fired or quit, most of them fired, let's face it. And these guys discard these women and go through them and get new cast members. And now they're just like, okay, let's just get fodder. You know what I mean? Let's just get dumb girls to like throw out, or plain girls. I shouldn't say dumb girls, but like plain girls, just get them out there, throw them out there for meat, chum for the guys, let the sharks get them. And then we'll just recast next year. We'll get new girls for these guys. And I don't like that. They're not props. Give them a fucking scene. I want to see them team up and take the guys down again. That was the most
fun season. I think it was like a lost opportunity to just sort of develop them as just characters on the show too.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how many times do we have to see Austin go to lunch and order waffle tots somewhere and spit them all out on top of his beers? So yeah. Taylor her personality has now receded back into her armadillo shell. And she's like, I just feel like I'm in an okay position with these women and I just want to continue on, and I've got the ball rolling and I want to keep the ball rolling. And it's not about Shep. But by the way, can I tell you something else about Shep? He totally denigrated his own girlfriend. I mean, have some respect for the girl. She is accomplished. Okay, honey. Okay, so I put on this scarf to not talk about Shep anymore. Okay, this is my not talking about Shep scarf. I don't know if you could tell. So could we talk about something else? I think it would be a good idea to concentrate on a relationship with your girlfriends instead.
The dogs are farting. The dogs are farting. It's like the second she lets her mom say anything and give advice, she just doesn't listen and starts giggling about dogs farting. And that's why you're nowhere, ma'am. That's why you're nowhere. Hang up on your daughter. You know, I think at some point mothers just need to normalize saying, if you're not going to listen to me, then I don't have to sit here and listen to your bullshit, and just hang up, because Taylor doesn't even listen. Get rid of her.
So Craig is now packing for the trip, and he's smelling his underwear to make sure they're clean, because
they're not.
They most likely are not. The thing is this, if you have to smell your underwear because you don't know which underwear is clean or not, that's a problem. Like, you should have an area that's designated for clean underwear, like your drawer. And then Vanita is packing with Charles. So here Charles is like, I was just waiting for my own scene. I don't have to be in a montage with other less interesting dogs. I get to be part of the varsity level pecking with my person scene.
And Vanita's like, is this dress good? No. Is this one good? Look like a blood clot. Is this one good? Look like a penny fart. Is this one good? Die. All right, Charles. Well, Jesus, thanks a lot. You're really getting a big head.
Yeah, seriously. So Madison calls Vanita and asks what she's bringing to the trip. And they're talking about dresses. And Ronnie, you must have been very happy to hear this, that Leva is not coming on the group trip this year because she's going to be staying home with Little.
No, I just don't understand why they keep Leva. Leva makes no effort. Leva's like, no, I have a kid, so.
I don't think Leva really even wants to be on this show anymore. So Vanita is, so, but she says that Ryan's coming and Taylor's coming and JT's coming. So Ryan came on this trip. Is it me? Did we not see Ryan at all? This poor guy. He really is relegated to the shadows, just where he quivers. He's like a little quivering. You know when people, when they rescue like little baby animals out of the woods, you know, like there's been something happened. The mama died. They saved the little baby squirrel and it's like trembling in the person's hand. That's what Ryan reminds me of. He's just like trembling in the corner in Bahamas.
He's like being fed with a, he's being fed with a bottle while they try and fit a new wig on. So cute. He might not be there though, because I think a bunch of people are coming the next day.
Oh, okay. Like Whitney, et cetera.
Yeah. But who knows? Yeah, I think it's, they just keep cutting him out. And he's probably got a speech in everyone where he's like, everybody, here's my speech. And they just cut it.
They're like, whatever. So Vanita says, tells Madison to have her best behavior. And
no, basically, and this is all just travel, 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 travel. Commercials. Here comes one
right now. Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some sh- and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So then they get to the airport and Shep is trying to call his girlfriend who's supposed to be there to pick them up, I guess, and she's not there. So the line is just ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing. And Craig's like, well, you should just let it ring because sometimes when it's international, it has to ring for a while until the K1 office picks up and then they pass it to the W9 office and then you're refunded a call. Oh, of course. Thanks, Craig. Thanks for your knowledge. But finally, after like 5 minutes, she picks up and she's like, oh, hi. What's up? And like, hey, gosh, I'm here. It's amazing. Everybody, she picked up. I'm here. Sienna, I'm here. Good little boy. I've got flowers. I've got a ring. I can't wait to see you. She's like, maybe I'll stop by your hotel later.
She seems really unrushed. Well, in a long distance relationship, your person should pick your love person. The lover should pick the person up at the airport. I mean, that's kind of what you should do. I mean, I'm Craig and even I know that. I mean, and he's right too. So the fact that she's not only not picking him up at the airport, but also is like, oh, I guess I'll see you later. Like at some point.
Yeah.
Just, oh, it's so cringy. So yes. Then the Shep is like, oh, I think it went well. I think everything's good. I think she loves me back. She's in love. Wait till she sees my shark tooth necklace that I got her. Oh, that'll seal the deal.
So, you know, I think we're going to be ripping into Taylor a little bit because she's such a dodo bird later in this episode. But he's obviously bringing the shark tooth necklace to trigger Taylor, too. So they both deserve each other. I just wanted to get that out before I forgot. Mm. So now they go to, you know, there's a band playing. They get to the hotel, like, this is amazing. And now the boys are in one suite. The girls are in another suite. So the boys go to their suite. And Shep's like, wow, we've got a giant suite for the guys. This is amazing. We have a private pool. We've got snorkeling. We're going to go out on a boat, which kind of lends itself to snorkeling. Doesn't it not? Gory.
Gosh. So then his phone dings and he says that Sienna's going to be coming over. And he's like, I wrote down a bunch of stuff I wanted to say. Oh. And he like starts pulling out like a piece of paper, which is like, oh gosh, no, this is not going to win her back. Whatever you planned out. And Craig is like, that's what always happens. You know what? You need to just like talk from the heart. I can write a K-1 for you if you want to help you talk from the heart.
Hey, you know what you should do right now? Practice. Just say right now whatever's in your heart.
Well, poor people should be turned into Soylent Green because they're not really producing anything.
Okay, well, maybe don't do that.
Oh, God, yeah. Gosh darn it.
So you got her necklace? Let me see the necklace.
I really got her a nice necklace. It's so nice. The shark was so glamorous.
But like, you know, I don't give it to her before the conversation, right? And well, you don't want to have it in the hand and be like, well, dude, what am I supposed to do with this? Oh gosh, well, can the next guy, New Day, Venmo me saying it'll be from him? I'm so nervous. So Austin's like, dude, okay, you don't want to dump on anybody or kick them when they're down, but that's not a good move. But I don't think that Shep had it in him to let another human control his emotions as much as this, but like, wow, Sienna is really manipulating him.
She's not manipulating him. He's trying to manipulate her. He's trying to take someone who clearly doesn't like them and bend to his will so he could have this imaginary hot girlfriend that he can brag about who doesn't even live in town so he can be cheating all the time on her and repair his reputation. He's trying to use her. She's not manipulating him. She barely can stand him, and it's obvious. She apparently thinks that they're just friends, and Shep's trying to make this into a storyline, and she's not going to let it happen. So the manipulator is the one that's failing here, and that's Shep. Sorry.
Yeah. I think she is like a little too shy or something to actually say, yeah, I'm not into this. So they all get to their suites. They're all looking around. They're all like, oh my God, presidential suite. And it's all really nice. They're at Baja Mar, which I feel like there was some other Bravo show that went to Baja Mar.
Isn't there one in Dubai? I feel like we've heard Baja Mar in Dubai.
Maybe. I think I'm always saying Baja Mar. So everyone's splitting up and choosing beds. It's the classic vacation time, vacation montage and everything. And now Craig starts to lose his mind because there's...
No, it's only in the Bahamas. I looked it up. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just gave bad information, guys. I don't want people trying to book Baja Mar in Dubai. What was the place that Caroline was screaming at her husband about when she's like, I'm on the phone with Barari? It's Barari, right?
Barari. The truth is they've actually gone to the Bahamas a lot on Bravo. And so like if I typed in Bahamar Bravo TV and a lot of results came up. So I think it's just like one of the classic destinations. But anyway, so essentially there are only three bedrooms, but there are four guys, which means that, you know, on the girls' end, not a problem. I think Molly and Sally decide to share a bed. Doesn't even matter. It's so inconsequential. We can't even remember. But Craig is like, I don't want to share. I mean, this is crazy. Three rooms, four guys. I'm 36 years old. No one in their 30s should have to share a room. Now, I agree. I would be annoyed if I had to share a room, but I don't think I would not have a tantrum because I'm with my friends and I'd be like, well, this kind of sucks, but okay, well, I guess it is what it is.
Yeah, no, Craig's doing his winter house like, I don't clean, I'm too rich to clean, throwing his money around at people. He's, you know, we knew that Craig was going to show himself at least once this season, and here he is. He can't fake it for that long. So he's walking around going, I don't have to share a room. What are we, poor? We're not fucking poor people.
But Craig also, it's like, he's acting like he doesn't want to be like subjected to having to sleep in the same room as someone who's awful. No, Craig, you're the one that no one wants to share with. Like you are the grenade that someone's going to have to jump on in this vacation. Like we all know his household that we see on the show. There is someone that comes in and cleans this household for him. Okay. Like, we have seen years of Craig's living situation and the total mess and depravity and shit everywhere. And he's going to act like he is the one that can't be subjected to a terrible roommate. No, you are the grenade here in this situation, sir.
But also, if you're that snotty about it, just get your own room. When I go on group vacations and there's like a bunch of shared rooms, I just get my own room if I can afford it wherever we are. But sometimes I can't. But sometimes I do. I don't make a big deal out of it. I just get it. Like, I don't call everybody else poor and make a big fucking deal out of it. This guy's such a loser. This guy's such an asshole. I love seeing this side come out. You cannot hide that shit forever.
And Austin's like, he's like, dude, like the four of us in this thing, it's going to be sick. Because he's like, it'll be fun. It'll be like slumber party, right? And Craig's like, we booked our own rooms. We're not fucking poor. He's like, relax, Craig. Craig, relax. Relax, Craig. He's like, I'm not sharing a room, bro. He's like, I'm not doing this. And he goes into a room and slams a door. And what's also annoying about this is that now Craig is going to get his way. So, like, he is going to get a solo room because he's having a tantrum. And it's just like, people like that, you just should never even go on vacation with.
Yeah, or be friends with, because they're just fucking assholes. You know, you can hide it for so long, but then you can't. So they're all mortified by Greg, you know, and Austin's like, he's a tyrant. He's a tyrant. He's a tyrant, guys. And so they're like, chill. You know, what are you going to do? So meanwhile, Shep is pacing around, freaking out about this girl coming. And everyone goes down to the pool. And Vanita's coming tomorrow. And probably JT is coming tomorrow, too, as we know.
Ryan.
I don't know that they are.
Whitney. Yeah.
And Whitney. Yeah. So Rodrigo's like, oh, God, we probably are going to all have to share. Craig's going to freak out. So then Shep's like, okay, everybody, well, Sienna did a lot of work to help us be here. And Taylor goes, Santa. Like, Taylor's decided that she's going to show up and have a scene. Taylor, who's always running because people are trying to make scenes, is now going to make a scene over her ex-boyfriend. Oof.
Well, basically Santa, because we never see her. Beta.
So then Taylor goes, I have a question, Shep. How long have you guys been exclusive?
Well, I know on my side it's been 3 months.
I don't think that...
fucking stalker.
I don't think that's how exclusivity works. I guess it does. I guess it can work that way. But they're like, well, what about on her end?
Baby Garstier.
Baby Garstier. Well, I went into a pub and she was really nice to me. So now we're married. My little baby Garstier.
Well, Shep told me he was exclusive. He just hadn't told her yet, which is healthy.
Well, maybe this is the talk, you know?
Well, I don't remember him ever sitting me down and just saying, hey, I just want you to know that, like, I love you and I care about you and I see a future with you. So, like, that's a huge moment. Well, I'm sorry it didn't happen with you, Taylor. And that should have been the moment that you should have left this man, to be honest.
Yeah, Taylor, you're just making yourself look dumber that you stayed that long, okay? And also, you know, Taylor's like, well, he clubbed me on the head and dragged me into a cave and eventually I got a chicken nugget. So it was love.
Yeah. But then she also says, oh, well, he did tell me he loved me within the first 2 weeks of us talking. And I was like very drunk. He was like, I love you, blah, 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 blah.
Taylor.
I mean, how many more red flags did you need? Really?
Taylor is the type to make a quilt out of a red flag and save it for her baby. You know, just like, these are all the red flags your father gave me. Let's always remember him as I cuddle you by this fire. So yeah, she's still clearly bitter. And, Sally's like, but wait, she didn't talk to you? Shep's like, well, communication has been decreased significantly.
Well, you deserve better than that. I mean, have you thought about going to the parking lot of a steakhouse and trying to get a blowjob for someone? Cause that could be where love could find you.
You just need to be more honest with her to explain your situation. He's like, oh, honest.
And Sally goes, yeah, everyone deserves communication.
And he's like, I know where I stand. I just don't know where she stands. In my mind, we're married with children. Now, I don't know. Is she on board with that? Who knows? Who cares? Mom thinks it's true. So the money's going to keep coming.
I highly doubt that it's miscommunication on her end. I think that you have something really good in front of you and you're kind of fucking it up right now.
Yeah, but she's stringing him along now like a poor person.
She's not stringing him along. What part of her not answering the calls or the messages says that she is stringing him along? She's just probably in a situation where they're like, producers reached out to her and said, hey, we're going to do this vacation down here and we want you to be part of it. And she's like, well, it would be cool to be on this TV show. So I'll do this. But I don't know. That's not enough to be a string along for me.
No. And he said himself that it's only in his head that they're committed, that she's not committed to him. So to her, it's some celebrity she hooked up with on Raya that she sees occasionally. And to him, they're married in his head. And now he's bringing all of his family, quote unquote,
yeah,
his friends, to meet her and her family. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? You know, this is weird.
Yeah. And then Craig's basically telling Taylor, you guys have some unresolved stuff. Oh, wow. Congratulations, Craig, for picking up on that. So
I love how Craig turns into Dr. Phil in this episode. let me just say, I think there's some unresolved stuff here. Meanwhile, Taylor's holding a wine bottle above her head, ready to crash it down on Shep. Wow. Good eye, Craig.
Unresolved stuff? No, I'm happy for you. And I want that for you. And I want that for me, too.
Flashback to a tuba party where Shep is saying that Gaston isn't good looking and he just looks mid.
You don't even know Gaston.
Why are we talking about Gaston? Okay, if you're not going to bring this man on TV and you won't let anybody talk about him, then why are you bringing him up? That's not fair.
So Shep is like, you know, Gaston should come around. He chooses not to. Well, would you come around if your name was being absolutely smashed? I'm like, you're still here. So, I mean, Shep kind of dragged you through the mud.
Gosh, nobody could deter me from coming around. Nobody. I'll always come around. I'm like Carly Simon and I'm coming around again.
I'm like your mama, who's so big that she doesn't only come around the house, she comes around the house.
I never really got that joke.
Me neither. Who cares? It's literature. Shut up.
Well, I'm very happy in my relationship. And he's like, okay.
Well, I just wish you had a better reputation. That's all. Gosh, and that's the end of it.
And Sally's like, I'm just keeping my mouth shut. I'm like not going to be in the middle of this. So, well, cheers to the girls that are in our lives, who will always be in our lives because we have really great relationships and they have not made any indications that they're deeply unhappy with us. Cheers.
So now Shep's phone chimes and the girls get in the pool and he's like, oh my God, she's coming. She's coming at 6:45. She'll say hello and then we're going to meet him at dinner. And oh my God, you guys, you need to help me.
And Craig's like, we can be wingmen. We know what we're doing.
But you're just eating wings, Craig.
Isn't that what
just remember? Literal wingman. I think you should just remember that you're fun first and not overthink it. That's the best case. Yes, Shep, fun first. Cut to Shep sitting in a chair with his like ankle going 60 miles per hour. Very fun. A very fun person.
So, okay. So then in the pool, Madison's telling Taylor,
wow, you said a lot today. Who put a nickel in you and watched you shake?
She's like, I'm genuinely just curious at this point. I'm just like actually curious about a lot.
You know what? Hey, Shep, you need to be focused on Sienna, not your ex.
Like, oh, gosh. I mean, you know, I'm really excited to see Sienna. I just want shelter from the storm. Oh.
So now they're going to go to their room and what they're going to do is create the most fun environment ever. So that way when Sienna comes in, she'll fall right back in love with him. Which, by the way, the fact that you're having to do this whole sort of teen comedy kind of moment here shows that this relationship is not it's not functioning.
Like, she said, you shouldn't on camera, have to be she only this. Dated you because her grandma likes your show. Okay, so if you can't even entice her with a full camera crew, you're screwed. Just give it up.
Yeah. So Austin is like, well, I just think that Shep is being like very dejected. If he doesn't hear, like, he'll be very dejected if he doesn't hear, like, I want to be with you. You know, the whole thing with him and Sienna is like so weird to me. Like, for someone who's as smart as he is, like for someone who can triangulate the way he can, like he could be like a bit thick to what somebody's trying to tell him. Like, it should be pretty fucking cut and dry at this point in time.
Yeah. Okay. So then we go to, I don't know, there's a lot of little stuff here. People on vacation doing their stuff, talking about hair.
Well, Shep is getting ready. They're primping Shep because Shep is now starting to like spiral. He's like, gosh, should I wear a hat? Should I not wear a hat? They're like, okay, don't wear a hat. Put some product in your hair. He's like, gosh, but I've got product in my hair, but I want it to look messy. But I want it to look messy with product. Oh gosh. Huh? Can someone put it on Vietnam War? I just need to calm down.
Oh God! And his nice outfit for Sienna is like a sweaty golf shirt,
but like intentionally
finger combed hair.
But he's like, but I want to look bad so that way she could dress me up.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so then we cut to horror music. It's like, and we see Sienna walking down the hallway with a bellhop cart full of stuff. And she's just smiling like everything's just fine, walking very slowly. You know, I guess she's amused by the camera crew following her or whatever. But yeah, there's horror music. It's like, don, 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 don. She's just smiling, looking lovely, you know. And then she comes in and it's like.
This poor girl has, I mean, like, I'm mortified for her to watch this back, to see the amount of, like, consternation and drama happening behind that door in anticipation of her arriving.
It's so
she's
silly.
Showing up gifts.
And the audience is so easily manipulated. I have to say, like reading the comments and everybody like, oh my God, this girl's just using Shep. For what? She's not using Shep. What has she gotten out of
Shep's
it?
Shep's using her.
Yeah, give me a break. Shep's trying to use her. I'm not buying that bullshit. This girl hasn't done anything wrong. So then she comes in and she kind of hugs Shep, which is like, oof, ouch. You know, she doesn't kiss him or whatever. And she's just looking kind of uncomfortable because he's clearly really nervous, you know. And she's like, what's going on, you know, because he's acting like his long lost wife just came in. And Shep's like, oh, everyone's so happy. We're just so happy to have you. Aren't we, guys? Aren't we?
Yeah. Hey, Sienna, let's make some small talk. How many generations have you guys been here? She's like 12. He goes, oh, really? That's awesome. I'm like, I feel like there's more to that story and it might not be as awesome as he's like, yeah, that's pretty awesome. I'm like, that might not be my response. But Craig is like, I've never felt someone's aura like this in my entire life. And we
Craig, this girl looks like the biggest fart in the world just came out. She's looking like, what is that smell? She's clearly freaked out by whatever's going on in here. And Craig's like, I can read auras. Craig, you cannot read auras. You don't even know that the woman you're with doesn't want to be with you. Come on.
No. I meant that I read Rita Ora's biography. It was really good.
You didn't do that either.
I didn't. I don't even know who she is.
He's like, I feel like I can sense people's energies right away. And I know any hope that I had that Sienna was genuine with her feelings with Shep disappeared as soon as she walked in the room. She is genuine with her feelings, and her feelings are disgust.
Yes. So are you joining us for dinner? She's like, yes, I would love to join my good friend Shep for dinner. my friend Shep. Yeah. Gosh, I think I still have a chance. So Craig is like, oh good. So then they get out of there basically, and now it's just Shep and Sienna, and he's like, gosh, oh God, by the way, I just want you to know I'm not dressing like this. I need your consultancy.
She's like, okay. He's like, come on upstairs. Okay, help me pick some clothes. I've got this. And it's like a leopard on a white shirt with matching white shorts. And she's like, did someone fart? He's like, okay, I'll try this one. What about this one? Silver leopard print on sequined short shorts. She's like, no, I guess that kind of Tommy Bahama thing is the least offensive. And he's like, okay, well, I'll change. And she goes, okay, yeah, I'll be downstairs. And he's like, what? It's not like you've never watched me change. You've watched me change both figuratively and literally. And she goes, yeah, mostly figuratively. And she just leaves and closes the door.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's just so awkward.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, don't go. I want
want you to watch me change.
It was so good. It was so good. And not because it's watching Shep get his feelings hurt, because I don't believe that Shep has any feelings in this in the first place. It's because it's Shep clearly trying to manipulate and show that he's still got all this prowess by getting this girl who he doesn't even know. But all he knows is that she's a beauty queen and she's going to make him, she's going to give him his good guy storyline for the next 2 years before he, you mm-hmm. know, fucks with her. And she's not giving in. She's one of the first people we've seen on this show with enough strength to be like, fuck off. Like, I don't need your show. I'm Miss Bahamas, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. So that was it. That was a hilarious episode. It was so cringy. Everyone have a great weekend. We'll be back next week with all our Southern Hospitality and Traders and Potomac, all that good stuff. And don't forget, today is your last day to watch The Crappies on Kizwe. So go to watchthecrappins.com. And we'll see you on the road also in a few weeks. Thanks, everyone. Catch you on the next one.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.